Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord, wherever you may be. Water to get in, fire to get out. If I could draw your attention to verse 4, it says, yeah, on one occasion while he was eating with them, Jesus said to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but I'm telling you, in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wait for the gift. Jesus says, don't be in such a hurry to get out of Jerusalem. We have to realize they probably weren't from Jerusalem. They didn't really live in Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem for the feast. They're coming to Jerusalem together for the feast. They're there. They go into Jerusalem with Jesus, and then he is crucified. But if you think about it, I mean, as a result of the challenge and the devil, Jesus has been crucified. They're scared. Jesus, when he is risen from the dead, he says, don't be in such a rush to leave the place, even if it was a scary place. Don't be in such a rush to move on from this moment, even if it's not familiar to you. Don't be in such a rush. I want you to wait. I want you to tarry. Now, I know that word tarry in the King James Version is one. It's why many of us tarried to get the Holy Spirit. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Many of us tarried to get the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to make fun of it. I think you were saying Jesus enough to show how bad you wanted the Holy Ghost. But the word tarry, really, it just means wait. Jesus is saying, just slow down for a minute. Sometimes the Lord says, what's the rush? Sometimes the Lord saying, hey, let's take a minute. Let's stop for just a second. Folks are saying, Pastor Andy, when are we going to meet again? When are churches going to reopen? When are we going to get back in there? And I read an article today that was saying this. It makes no sense that all these protests are able to happen and churches aren't able to come back together. I watched the video of the George Floyd funeral. Man, that thing was powerful. Man, that church was jam, boy. I mean, they had masks on, but they had some church up in there. I know many of you like me said, man, they sent that dude off to the Lord. They had a service. It was political, but they had a service. And I know the whole lot of folks of us saying, all right, world. I know you're saying, all right, world overcomers, all right. It's time to, it seemed to me that if they could have had that kind of church service, that we ought to be having church. When are we going to have service? When is this going to happen? When is the kingdom going to be restored to Israel? When is stuff going to be the way we want it to be? When are we going to get back to normal? When are we going to get out of this thing that's uncomfortable? When is this pain going to be over? My God, when am I no longer going to be scared? Jesus says, I want y'all to wait in Jerusalem for a little while. That's Jesus. Listen, they done killed you. They are looking for us. Peter done denied you. We don't know what's going to go on. We don't know who else the Sanhedrin going to come after. You're trying to get us to wait. You're trying to get us to stay. He said, yeah, I want you to wait because I got a gift for you. My God, I want you to wait because I got a gift for you. I don't know about you, but I'll wait for a gift. I don't know about you, but I'll wait. If I'm going to wait, it better be worth it. If I'm going to wait, there better be something worth the wait. Jesus saying, listen, don't be in such a rush to get past this, but wait until this gift I have for you comes, because a gift is coming. Oh, I'm speaking that over somebody's life. A gift is coming. I got to believe that. I've got to believe that. I've got to believe that God has a plan for you. I've got to, man, I feel like preaching tonight. I got to believe that God has a plan for me. I got to believe that when this thing is over, we're going to end up with something that we didn't have before. I got to believe that when this thing is over, there's going to be a gift that we receive. Jesus says, I want you to tarry. I want you to be still and know I'm God. I want you to chill for just a minute because a gift is coming to you. He says, because John baptized with water. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He's saying, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, meaning change. And you changed your mind. And you came to John. And you realized you were wrong. And you came to the Lord. And I know that's why we're here. Many of us, we came to the Lord. I came to Jesus as I was. I was messed up. I realized I needed him. I came to the Lord. I had to repent. Metanoia, I had to change my mind. I had to say, well, the way that I'm going is not the way to go. I repent. I'm coming to the Lord. And I was baptized in water, and that water baptism represents identifying with the death and resurrection of Christ. It's water to get in. It's water to get in the church. It's water to get into the body of Christ. It's water in. Water to get into the world. Water to get this baptism of John's was a repentance baptism. Jesus says, yeah, John laid the foundation, got you to think about repentance, and baptized you with water. It was a repentance thing. But in a few days, you will be baptized with fire. You will be baptized with power. In a few days, power is going to come on you. I don't know about you, but I'm believing God for power. I'm believing God for power. I need a wave. I'm believing God for power. I'm believing for the Lord to rain power on us, fire to fall on us. I am trusting God for power. I am looking for fire. I am looking for power. I'm saying, God, let your power fall. Lord, after all of this, let your power be done. Let your fire fall on us and give us dunamis. Give us a power that we don't normally have. Hallelujah. About last year or so, I bought this Tesla. I don't know if you're familiar with the Tesla, but the Tesla is basically an electric car. And I didn't buy it brand new. I bought it brand used. Hallelujah. And it's like it's 2015 or 16. And so I bought the Tesla, and you know, it's no gas in it. It's just electric. It's just power. And I mean, it is fast. It is smooth. It is not, it's one of the nicest cars that I've ever had. But the challenge of it is you got to plug it in. And there's not a lot of charging stations around. There's not a lot of places to charge it. And so although it is based on power, I ended up getting a truck. I ended up getting a used, again, brand used, and I ended up getting this truck. And I've been driving the truck a lot because although the Tesla is about the new, and the Tesla is better, and the Tesla is faster, and the Tesla runs, and the Tesla has all these new pops and buzzes and whistles, the truck is still the old. It's the gas. It's still the old way, but because I'm finding myself driving the truck more, because if I want to drive the Tesla, I have to remember to plug it into power. I've got a spot to plug it in at my house. I've got a spot to plug it in at the church. Matter of fact, it's plugged in right now. I drove it here. It's plugged in right now. Charge it. It gets charged at the house. You got to get charged at church. You got to get charged at your house. There's not going to be a whole lot of charging places in between. You better have some Holy Ghost at your house. I don't know who I'm talking to. You better have some Holy Ghost when you get to church. You better get some power. The Tesla is dependent upon power. And I just have a tendency to just go ahead and just drive the truck because it's easier, because it's not as dependent upon power. My God, I wonder how many of us have just gotten used to the truck of church and the truck of ministry and just the truck and just doing it how we do it and just got our service and got our order and got things to structure the way we've always done them, not necessarily dependent on plugging into the power of the Holy Spirit, but maybe, just maybe, all of this has happened so that we will remember how to plug in. For Jesus to say, yeah, John did a water thing, but I'm about to do this power thing, this fire thing. You're going to be baptized with fire. You're going to be baptized with power. Water to get in, but it's going to be fire for you to go out, for you to get out into the world, for you to get out and share your faith, for you to get out there and change the world. That's going to take Holy Ghost. That's going to take power. If all you're trying to do is just get in enough just to get what you want, but to really change the world, to be witnesses, it's going to take fire. It's going to take power. Jesus said, yeah, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will no longer just be consumers of kingdom. You'll be witnesses. You'll be people who are in the business of kingdom. You won't just be receiving it. You'll be about talking about it and sharing it. The Holy Ghost power will change you. So it's not just what you're in, but it's what's in you. It's not just what you're in, but it's what's in you. Last Wednesday, I broke down the word dunamis. And in case you weren't here, I'll just do it again. But we said that dunamis has several meanings, and I'm not going to teach them all over again. But dunamis has several meanings. This word dunamis, Jesus is saying, yeah. Once you get in here and repent, that's great. But then some power got to get on you. Some dunamis has to get on you. This dunamis has several meanings. We said, number one, the first one is inherent power. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Inherent power. That's the first one. The second one is moral power. Moral power is excellence of soul. I do right because it's right to do. I don't just do right because you're watching. That's going to take power. Dunamis is, yeah, I'm doing right because it's right. I'm doing right because I'm right inside. I'm not doing right just because you're filming me. I'm not doing right just because everybody got a camera. I'm doing right because my soul will bother me if I don't do right. Something down on the inside. It's not just what I'm in. It's what's in me. And if I don't, if I'm not careful, if I don't do right, it'll bug me. It'll bother me. It'll mess with me. It's excellence of soul. We said number three, dunamis was miracle power. That's what we really think about when we talk about dunamis. We think about spiritual power and gifting and power to perform miracles. And I'm looking for a miracle. I'm believing God for a miracle. I'm saying, oh, yes, God, I want miracle power. I want fire to fall. I want us to do something we couldn't normally do without you. The fourth kind of power we said that dunamis meant is it means financial power. Economic power, power from wealth, power from riches. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm believing that I'll have dunamis. I'm believing that the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon me, and I'll be able to save, and I'll be able to build. I'll have faith, and not only will faith apply to church, but it'll apply to my life. And I'll actually gain wealth and build wealth, and I'll have more, and I'll have a power that comes from my money as well as from who I am on the inside, that my decisions will be impacted because dunamis is financial power. We said number five, dunamis is numerical power, power arising from numbers, that the Holy Ghost will empower us to be able to come together. The Holy Ghost will empower us to be able to agree. It seems to me that if we got the fire and the Holy Ghost, then we ought to be able to unite together. Seems to me that if we have the power of the Holy Spirit, then we ought to be able to join together. As a matter of fact, our unity is going to begin spiritually. And so if we're going to be united together, it's going to take the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're thinking, well, I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. But it's going to take power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take the Spirit of God. It's going to take the presence of God for us to be united. It is the plan of the enemy for us to be this divided. It is the plan of the enemy for our country to be this divided. It is the plan of the enemy for us within our own culture to be this divided. If we got the Holy Ghost, then we ought to be able to have power to unite with one another. And there is a power that comes from the numbers. You're not as powerful by yourself as you are if you can unite with somebody. We said number six, that dunamis meant military power, forces and armies. As a result of my prayer language and my worship with God, I've got angels that are fighting on my behalf, because the wrestle's not against flesh and blood, but angels and principalities and powers. And so I'm calling on the host of heaven. I'm calling on angels to fight for me, supernatural forces to fight for me. And I have access to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer life goes to another level through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for this dunamis. I'm looking to have confidence because I know there's muscle behind me. I'm not scared because I know God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. I'm not scared because I'm thinking, Lord, have your way. I'm not afraid because I say, Lord, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I'm not afraid because I know that angels are fighting for me and battling for me, and there is a power that arises from that. But dunamis is talking about military power. And then number seven, we said kingdom foundational power, meaning that the Holy Spirit should empower fruit as much as gifts. The Holy Spirit should empower fruit as much as gifts. Just as there are all of the gifts of the Spirit, there are also the fruit of the Spirit. You got nine gifts, you got nine fruit. I think that we are so in love with the gift of the power that we don't recognize that if the Holy Ghost is really on us, then we ought to be able to lay some foundation down. If the Holy Spirit really is on us, then there ought to be some kingdom foundational power that Jesus taught on the kingdom. When we talk about the ministry of Jesus, yep, he did miracles. No doubt about it. Yep, he healed. He opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead. Death had no power over him. Yep. He walked on water. Yep. He did. He had miracles of provision. Yep. No doubt. Turning water into wine and making bread, feeding thousands. Yep. He certainly walked in miracle power, but much of Jesus' ministry was teaching on the kingdom. He said, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit speaks to the church. Folk marveled at his teaching because he taught as someone with authority, not like the scribes, not like the teachers of the law. When Jesus taught, there was an anointing there. My God, if there could just be some anointing on the teaching, if there could just be some anointing on the preaching, I want all the other anointing, I want all the other power, but God, I want the power to fall in such a way that it leaves a mark in me, that it lays a foundation in me, that I'm transformed as a result of the foundation that is laid. Miracles, yes, but also kingdom teaching. In Luke chapter 13, we read it earlier. Jesus is talking and teaching on the kingdom. And he says, listen, there's going to be weeping there. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. There's going to be some sadness. There's going to be some crying. There's going to be some people who thought they had it together who found out they didn't have it together. There's going to be some people who think, yeah, I'm of Abraham. I'm of Isaac. I'm of Jacob. Well, we're of this denomination. And we're of this church. And we're of this movement. And we're of this. And we have done the right thing. And we have gone to church. And we have pleased God. And we have honored God. And there are going to be folk who are almost taking this church kingdom thing for granted. And going, don't be surprised when you find some of those folk crying. This is a shake-up word, what the Lord is saying. He's saying, yeah, there's going to be some weeping. There's going to be some teeth grinding. There's going to be some anger. There's going to be some tears. There's going to be some folk who thought that they were in who aren't as in as they thought they were. They're going to see the feast. They're going to see blessing happen. They're going to see anointing. They're going to see a table set, and they're going to see people come to take their place to eat. People come to take their place to feast. A feast is about abundance, not just barely making it, not just barely getting over, but a feast. They're going to see the feast called. They're going to see the table set, and they're going to see folk take seats at the table that they don't think ought to be there. My God. They're going to see people sit there. They're going to see people have power and have authority and have ministry and have money and have houses and have, and they're going to be upset because they're going to think they don't qualify to be there. I qualify to be there. And the Lord is like, yeah. Don't be so cocky. Don't be so sure about it. This is a shake-up word. Not from me, from Jesus. Y'all mad at somebody. Be upset with him. This is a shake-up word. Jesus is shaking everybody up. He's like, yeah. And some of y'all are going to see folk come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, the prophets, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets. Folk are going to come and take their places at this feast, and there's going to be folk who thought they were going to be in there that are going to be thrown out. And folk who think they're less will end up being first. My God, I don't know who that is for. The folk who thought there's no way I ought to be in there will be the ones with authority. The folk who are thinking there's no way I deserve it. The one who has been humbled by their circumstance, humbled by their upbringing, will be the one that ends up with authority and power. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus is saying, don't be so sure about your place at the table. Don't be so sure about your place at your seat at the feast. He's saying, you need to check yourself. You need to look deep within to make sure that you qualify. This is a shake-up word. He's saying, don't assume about the kingdom. Don't assume about it, because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. There's going to be stuff that happens in the kingdom that doesn't fit in the way that you normally do stuff. We started talking about this several weeks ago. We asked the question, what is the alien kingdom response, because the kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom has a different value system. The way the kingdom measures is different. Humility drives service, and what works in the kingdom doesn't necessarily work in the world. What works in the government doesn't necessarily work in the kingdom. You can't necessarily apply governmental political issues with kingdom. They don't necessarily mix together. Understand that the expectations in kingdom are different. We ask that question. What is the alien kingdom response to insult? I talked about being insulted. In the kingdom, when you're insulted, you're supposed to hold it together when you're insulted. When you're insulted, you're supposed to have a smile on your face when you're insulted. When you're offended, there is a response that is appropriate in the kingdom. We said, what is the appropriate response in the kingdom to anger? We talked about that last couple of weeks. We said, when you get angry, the word says to be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. My wife and I just celebrated 29 years being married on Monday. And when folk ask us, how have we been able to make it 29 years, 29 happy years? Well, a part of it is that we were determined not to let the sun go down on our wrath. Now, if you're not going to let the sun go down on your wrath, you got to make sure that the wrath is not so big that the sun won't go down before it's over. Sometimes it's hard for folk to not let the sun go down on their wrath because they have done so much in anger. They done cussed out so much in anger. They done said so much in anger. They done dogged somebody out so much in anger, it take more than a couple days to get over it. If I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath, then I got to be careful about my anger. Because the word says that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James says that because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. The excuse of, well, I was mad, don't work in the kingdom. Just because you're mad in the kingdom does not mean any behavior is excusable. Well, I was upset. Well, just because you was upset does not mean that you can just say whatever comes to mind. You got to watch your mouth when you're angry. What do you do when you're angry? What's the kingdom response? I want to get to the third one. The third one is, what is my kingdom response when I am wrong? Woo! When I'm wrong. If I'm going to fit this thing in the kingdom, if I'm going to have power, then I ought to be able to act right when I'm wrong. I'm so tired of folk who supposedly know God and can't say sorry. I'm so tired of folk who supposedly have a relationship with the Lord, supposedly have the Holy Ghost, and can't repent. Can't say I messed up. What is the appropriate response for when I'm wrong? Let me give you a passage of scripture that I read and quote quite a bit. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says in verse 3, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. It's a powerful passage of scripture. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. I want you to leave it on the screen just for a little bit. My conscience is clear, meaning I may feel all right about myself, but that don't mean nothing. Just because I think I'm all right don't mean I'm all right. It is absolutely possible for me to be cool with what I did, absolutely cool with what I said, and it's still wrong, still off. Just because my conscience is clear does not mean everything's all right. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. I may think I'm all right, but that don't mean I haven't hurt you. I didn't even mean it like that, but that doesn't mean that you weren't offended. I don't want to get to a point where I'm so right in my, I'm not that wrong, that I can't admit, wait a minute now, I didn't mean it like that, but listen, my conscience is clear. I said that. I wasn't even thinking that way. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where someone has told you a way they took something or told you a way they felt it was. Or I recently was in a conversation with someone and they said to me, well, you were there and you just walked right by me. You didn't speak to me. And I said, listen, I don't remember that. I am, but listen, please forgive me because I'm telling you now that wasn't my intention. I had a lot going on at the time. There was a lot on my mind. I'm so sorry. It's not that hard to say I'm sorry. especially if my conscience can be clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges. So what is the appropriate response for when I'm wrong? Well, glad you asked. The first appropriate response is explanations, but not excuses. Explanations, but not excuses. One of the first lessons my father taught me about how to be a man is he said, Andy, you'll know you're a man when you stop making excuses and you can just admit when you're wrong. Why can't you just admit that you are wrong? Why can't you just say, I was wrong? Why can't you just admit it? Why do you have to give us this whole big long excuse as to why you did what you did? Even in your explanation, you have to be careful that you're not explaining it to get to an excuse so that you can be indemnified from behavior that doesn't qualify for kingdom. In the kingdom, since my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent, it is even in my giving of an explanation, I have to be careful that I'm not looking for an excuse. That I'm not looking to blame everybody else and blaming it on my back and blaming it on my upbringing and blaming it on this and blaming it on. In a sense, when this person said this to me about how, yeah, you just walked right by and didn't say nothing to me, I started to say, listen, I was really tired during that time and I had a lot going on. But I had to be careful not to let that keep me from saying I'm sorry. Still had to say, listen, but even if that is the case, I'm sorry. Even if I was uptight, I'm sorry. Even if I was stressed, I'm sorry. Even if I was tired, still, you got offended at that level. Please forgive me. Guy sent me a message just talking about how he wrote in and tried to get help, and we didn't respond to him. This is a big church, thousands and thousands of people. I didn't even say none of that. Because he said it. He said, I know you got a lot of people. And I said, look, it doesn't matter how many people we got. You're disappointed. We failed you in some way. Please forgive me. Man, I'm sorry. I didn't even put in there how many folk called me. I didn't even put in there how many folk DM me. I didn't even put in there how many people want counsel for me, because it starts to sound like an excuse. It starts to sound like your feeling is not valid because of some reason. Even though it may be an explanation, it can't stop me from saying, hey, man, I was wrong. Rather, one of the things that happened to him was that he had sent me a message on Instagram, and I didn't even really know about the messages in Instagram. By the time I found those, y'all forgive me, I'm not a millennial. By the time I found them, man, I had so many messages. People had been sending me messages for years. I didn't know nothing about the messages. I said to him, I said, man, I'm so sorry. I just found out about these messages. I got here, and there was 197 of these things. And I just sat there and just apologized to people. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't even know you messaged me back in 2017. I'm sorry. I can give an explanation, but I can't give an excuse. It's not an excuse. B, what do I do when I'm wrong? If I really have the Holy Ghost, I ought to be able to give an explanation, but not an excuse. If you really have the Holy Ghost, you ought to be able to admit, I was wrong, I missed it, I messed up, I forgot. I was late. I told you I'm almost there, but I hadn't even left the house yet. I told you I'm on the way, and I was in the kitchen. I told you I'll pick you up after school. I'll pick you up for soccer. Your soccer practice is over at 3, and I'm supposed to be here at 3, and I got here at 3:30, and I can't have an attitude at you for having an attitude at me. Better be careful. I'm your mama boy. That's just because you his mama don't mean you're not wrong. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I done left preaching, going to mess. Just because you husband don't mean you're not wrong. Just because you boss don't mean you're not wrong. Just because you wife don't mean you're not wrong. B, The second thing that I have to do when I'm wrong is don't fight fire with fire. I know there is this saying to fight fire with fire, although it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because if something's on fire, you better throw some water on it. Last thing you need is more fire on fire. Part of the reason why some of the protests got so violent is because if violence is initiated, then violence will be the response. My God, can't fight fire with fire. We got to learn de-escalation. Can't fight fire with fire. We can't see a fire, throw more fire on it. When confronted, this is not the time for you to confront back. When confronted, this is not the time to attack. If I have the courage to sit you down and tell you a way in which you bothered me or offended me, this is not the time for you to then tell me how I offended you. Then that's a defense mechanism that keeps us from being able to just say, you know what, I'm sorry. No, 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 that's not what we do. We say, oh, yeah, but what about you, though? What about you, though? This isn't about me. This is about you. I know, but so we going to start talking about what people do. Okay, Tuesday, right? I get it, but you're not acknowledging the fact that you was wrong on Monday. When confronted, this is not the time to attack. This is not the time to argue about minute details that are beyond the point. That was Wednesday. See, that was a Wednesday. You don't even know what you're talking about. You said Thursday. That was a Wednesday. Get your facts straight. Well, see, what you're doing is you are being defensive and you're quibbling about the details because you don't want to deal with the fact that you were wrong. If you really got the Holy Ghost and really have power, you ought to be able to say, I'm sorry, and not get defensive and not start fussing and not start emotionally manipulating because you don't want to deal with what's wrong. This is not the time to attack with your tears. This is not the time to attack with your anger. See, that's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with you. You don't trust me. Wait. Just hear what's being said, bro. Don't immediately go on the attack. See, just because you ain't never had nobody before like me. Wait. Can you just be quiet long enough and just admit that you didn't call when you said you were going to call? Can you not manipulate? I can't believe you said that to me. And you know I'm going through it. You know my mom isn't speaking to me. And you know it's my time. Don't emotionally manipulate me with your tears. Don't go on the attack. Have the Holy Ghost. My God, help us. I know I'm meddling now. Have enough Holy Ghost to just stand still and say, you're right. You're right. I'm going to do better. That's number three. Repent. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We love the second part of it. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. But we miss that therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And the Catholic Church took this and made it confessionals, but I would contend that this also can apply for you to just admit that you was wrong. Just confess and be like, yep, I was nasty. Yep, I was angry. Yep, I was tired. Yep, I was upset. I was mad. My wife and I did a show together. It was something we did, one of these shows together. And after the show was over, I was so upset. I just didn't even see the show the way she saw it. She's sitting there trying to talk to me about the way I was on the show. And I was like, you were upset. She was like, honey, I wasn't upset. I was like, yes, you was. You was upset. And she just finally just got quiet. And I got in my and I just was feeling myself, especially when you're a preacher. You just feel you always write the anointing of God. If I get emotional, I feel the anointing of God, and I felt God on me, and I just was like, yes, that's right. and I stepped my foot in the blah, 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 and then I went back and watched the video over. My Lord and my God, I couldn't even get through it. I sat there and watched myself, Marty. I said, Lord, I had to stop it. I couldn't watch the whole thing. I had to turn it off. I had to go to bed. I had to wait. She was already asleep. When I woke up the next morning, I brought her a cup of coffee. I tiptoed in all quiet. I said, hey, baby, listen. That dude that was talking to you last night, he was a fool. I was wrong. I was tired. I was ignorant. I was being a man. I just thought I knew. There's a way you want this done, and the way you want it done is the way it should be done. I just thought I knew what I was talking about, but I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And you know what? I can do better. Oh, my God. What's the good of the Holy Ghost if you can't do better? What's the point of having the Holy Spirit and power if you can't repent and do better? If you can't say, I'll be better after this, I'm going to start coming in on time. Oh, my God, I'm going to start keeping my word. I'm going to start being where I said I was going to be. I have seen the light because the Holy Ghost has empowered me to change my nature. Get some foundational stuff together. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. My contention is that we were so much about prophetic power that we forgot how to say sorry. What do you do when you're wrong? That's a test of the Holy Ghost. Because you are not perfect. Oh, my Lord, I just felt the anointing on me. I'm not perfect. I'm waving it over my own self. Don't make me call you out. You are not perfect. You are not. None of y'all over there on the keys is perfect. You not. Steve, you, Tyrus, you need Jesus bad. Johnny, but my Lord and my God, Johnny, why? Every single one of us need the Holy Ghost. There's just no way you ought to be that sure about you being right, not with the Holy Ghost on you. You ought to be able to say, hey, listen, my conscience is clear, but I can be absolutely wrong. And please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Come on, let's pray together. Lord, touch us. Lord, touch me. Reign in me. Lord, help me to be obedient. Lord, help me to be obedient. My God, help me to be obedient, to hear your word. God, give us power. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with us. Let it be righteousness on earth and let it begin with us. Let judgment start with the house of God. Rain your spirit on us. Lord, send your spirit. Send your spirit. We need your spirit more than ever before. We're waiting, God. We won't be in a rush to get out of this Jerusalem. We'll wait if we can get the gift of the Spirit. Thank you for living so big in us tonight. Thank you for speaking to us, God, even though you bothered us a little bit, stepped on our toes a little bit. But, God, that's all right. We got better to do. Order our steps. Lead us and guide us into truth. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. So glad you were with us tonight. We're going to be back Sunday morning, 9:30. And we're so excited. Please share this. Excited that you were with us and excited for you to share what you saw today with your friends, with your neighbors, especially somebody that does not know the Lord. And they can get that information. this Saturday. I know we've been doing this Feed the City, and Projects of Hope has been providing food and doing that every single Saturday. This Saturday, it's going to be suspended. We're having a funeral here on Saturday. And as I said earlier, we got to pray for one of our faithful members. She's lost her son, and we're going to be having this funeral here. And so this Saturday, for everyone that's watching, please share it. I know folks come here and get food, and we're gonna let you know the other time when you can come back to get this food that we have for you. We've got this whole food pantry, but this Saturday it will be suspended. Just let you know about that. And if you're with us for the first time, let us know. And we can't wait to see you again on Sunday. Come on, let's pray one more time. God, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And the entrance of your word sheds light. And as we walk in the light, as you're in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking to us and through these lips of clay. Your unsearchable riches, they're able to build us up and save our souls and give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. We bless your name. Dismiss us, me, and all of these faithful volunteers and staff as we leave tonight, and watch over all of us, Lord God, as we work and as we work from home and as our country slowly opens up. God, rebuke the devil on our behalf. Cleanse our air. Strengthen our power. Unite our country. We'll give you praise for what you do and say. You're worthy. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. See you Sunday.